Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Mind Body Stuff.
I'm Kaylee.
I'm Bernice.
Took a few weeks off,
again,
as we have been doing recently, but we're excited to be back.
We're just happy we made it in with the coronavirus going around. It hasn't hit here in Montana yet. Probably by the time this airs, it will have hit probably in our state, but we're just kind of like... It's just kind of funny. Not funny. It's not funny, right, folks? But it's funny trying to make sense of what's happening.
It is interesting.
Yeah,
for sure.
Now, what do you do now? And then what does it mean when all the businesses shut down?
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like?
Right.
So I find that interesting.
It's a very interesting time.
But I think it's good for us.
I think it's very good for us. I think we have a lot of opportunity to shift the way that we think about things and to shift maybe the massive scale at which we are just consuming and thinking that, like, I don't know. I just find the whole toilet paper thing fascinating. It's like people think.
Buying
a bunch of stuff is going to keep them safe.
I heard a dog last night talking about, he's like, it doesn't cause diarrhea.
I know.
So I don't know why everyone's buying toilet paper.
It's the weirdest thing to me.
But only in America, I think, that's where that happens. Yeah. What is that about?
I have no idea.
I mean, it's like a run on toilet paper all over the country.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either, because it's like, I could see if they said, yes, it's very violent diarrhea.
Yes.
You'll all be very, very sick with, you know, stomach, intestinal disorders.
And I'd be like, I could use some toilet paper for that.
But
that sounds convenient.
That's not it at all. So, folks, why are we buying the toilet paper?
Well, I'm just, yeah, I think that is shocking to me. I wonder what the rest of the world thinks about all this. I also, like, I think you and I have different takes on this, which is good. This makes a good conversation because we don't agree about everything.
Mm-mm.
But I just find the fear fascinating. There is massive, massive, massive fear going around, and it feeds, everyone is just feeding on the fear. And what we need to also realize is that stress and fear actually affect your immune system and make you more sick. So it's like, we also have this great opportunity to be like, okay, how can I maybe raise my vibration, or what can I do to contribute to maybe the solution? But everyone's just like, oh my God, freaking out, stockpiling toilet paper and just like sitting in their fear. And I don't, it's very interesting to me.
Well, I think there's a lack of leadership, because when there's good leadership, there's less fear.
Well,
it's kind of like, here's the plan, folks. Yes, it's going to be bad, okay? But we're going to do 5 things.
But how bad is it? I mean, it's bad, but it's not that bad. Like, did you see all the data is beautiful posts going around?
Yeah.
Showing the information.
It's mostly old people that are going to die.
It's like point whatever percent of like, it's like 0% of kids.
Yes. Well, it's 0.1% of kids.
Okay.
At least that's the scientific data right now. It could change, of course, because the more people that get sick,
sure,
the more the numbers will lower, actually, than
right.
they are.
But we also aren't seeing all of the data because not everyone's getting tested. I just think that there's so much we don't know about it that it's, I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of hysteria.
I find it odd, too, that we had SARS back in like 2003 or 6. I can't remember when it was. And yet I don't feel like... I mean, I guess they got a handle on that one quicker than we have on this particular pandemic.
Right.
But that also was a pandemic, I believe. It went around the world.
Right.
So, and I think the bottom line is people don't know. That's why it's scary. Humans don't know. So we don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Will my mother die? Will my grandmother die from it? I don't know.
Right.
I hope not.
Right.
You know, that'd be kind of like, I was thinking more of like a stroke.
Yeah.
Not really like.
Yeah.
She died of coronavirus.
Right.
But.
Right.
But, you know, who knows?
But I also, like, I've seen this circulating a lot, which I really appreciate, is it's like a bunch of people have like put this out that's like, I wish people would take climate change as seriously as they're taking coronavirus. I'm like, this is what's going to kill us as a species, people. Like, coronavirus is going to target and it's going to be... It's going to make its way through in however long, and it's going to be over. But climate change,
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, where, why can't we, where's the preparation or the hysteria around climate change?
There will be, because this is how hysteria starts. Because when you start to learn, like, a third of the world's population may die, then everyone's like, oh no, that seems problematic.
But how are you getting a third of the world's population dying of coronavirus?
Well, they're figuring out from what it was from the 1918 Spanish flu. I think it was, I can't remember the statistics, but quite a few people died. The world, it was a big decline.
Yeah, but did they have good hand washing? Did they have good soap? Like, did they know how to protect themselves from germs? I mean, I'm sure they had soap and
hand washing, but bad germs. But anyway, there's a prediction that there may be some sort of a die-off happening with this particular virus. And so that's why people are more concerned. So I think what'll happen is, for climate change, of course, something dramatic will have to happen for us in the United States. And that might be like the fires in Australia or something like that, where we go, oh no. Of course, we've already had a few hurricanes that have been pretty, pretty bad. But I think it'll start to cluster. And that's when humans take stuff seriously. Right. It's when it hits you in your own backyard, when you're like, you mean I can't go to Disneyland next week?
Yeah, because it's all, like, it's so selfish.
Yeah, they're all like, I mean, I just talked to a super nice lady, and they've had this plan for, like, a year to bring their kids, who are, like, 5 and 3, to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And now they're, like, they're hearing that Disneyland's going to close in Anaheim.
Right.
And they're, like, what do we tell our kids?
Right.
And that's when it starts to become significant, because it starts to affect you. Yeah. You're, like, oh, no, we can't do that. And it's, like, by the way, we had plans for pandemics earlier, and we canceled someone in the administration recently closed that office down about 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Okay.
So there was no, so in other words, there can be pandemic planning, because we will anticipate pandemics as our population continues to grow on the planet. That's just how it's going to be, right? And hopefully, like you're saying, with climate change, we'll start to anticipate then, uh-oh, we just lost half of Texas, you know? Right. And then we're like, now that wasn't right. Now
that's
right.
A problem.
That's a problem. Do you think we need to plan for that?
Right.
And then we do. But it's unfortunate that we have to get to these sort of crisis heads to plan, to be like, this is really affecting us.
Yeah.
So
I do think there is a lot of opportunity for like a shift of, I don't know, like habits, perspectives, so many things. Like, there is a really good opportunity
about healthcare
to shift some things. Well, yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, even our healthcare, we're not set up to even test.
Right.
You know, in other countries, they can just be like, oh, one of the countries, I'm sure you guys heard this, where they have drive-through testing. Oh, so it's set up all over the country.
They just set that up in Denver.
Perfect. But see, it's only... the whole country would have to do
that.
We
have a massive country.
We have a massive country, and we don't have a plan.
We have no plan.
We have no plan. And so what we do is, because we're independent and we like our independence, we say, it's up to the states.
Yeah. We love our independence.
We love our, but the problem is, when we get to situations like this, then, okay, that's awesome for Denver. Well, what about for Portland?
Right.
You know, but if we had a giant plan and we had better healthcare planning, we could be like, you know, you'd be in charge of pandemic, you know, stuff. And you'd be like, oh, it looks like there's a pandemic coming.
Right.
So we're going to implement drive-through testing throughout the country.
So do you have fear around, like, are you afraid of this?
I'm afraid for my son. I am afraid.
Are you?
For Ray. Because his breathing is, you know, he has kind of compromised lungs.
Yeah.
And I'm sure part of me is like, oh, you're just being ridiculous.
Right.
But we just had a cold and it lasted 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And he had to be on his nebulizer 4 times a day. And I finally had to start an antibiotic, which I didn't want to do. Mm-hmm. And 2 days ago, he got better.
Right.
And for me, it's just like, can you please not let this happen?
Right.
Like, you know, he even said, should I not go to school?
Oh.
Because it's, you know, it's scary when you can't breathe really good, as you would know, as another off and on asthma sufferer.
Oh, totally.
So I don't have that fear. Like, I'm kind of like, what's that? I mean, just breathe faster. Or I don't know. I'm always like, clear your throat.
Right. Yeah.
Why can't you clear your throat?
Yeah. Well, it's not in your throat.
No, it's not in your throat. But it sounds like it is, because they get all coughy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? When you want some, I'm like, can't you just cough it up?
Yeah. Well, Yeah. So you're scared of your actual family member of getting sick.
And my daughter's having a newborn.
Yeah.
Not yet. But I mean, yeah, in the next day or two, 3 days, newborn.
Right.
So I am worried about that.
But does it affect babies? I thought it doesn't affect babies.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure. I don't know.
But you are nervous for people that you know.
I am. And my mom, of course, who's 95.
Right.
But she is. I talked to her doctor. This is fascinating. But anyway, I talked to her doctor in Hawaii. And she's like, she basically is on self-quarantine because she doesn't live in a nursing home. She lives by herself.
Right.
We know the people that come and go.
Yeah.
And we know there's limited. It's like 5 people.
Yeah.
So we can say to them, if you feel sick, don't come over.
Yeah, totally.
Or we can even say, everyone take their temperature before you come inside.
Yeah.
So I am worried for her and I worry for Ray because it's like, and even though they don't get sick, it's like they can go into ICU. It's like, I don't want you to have trouble. You know, I just don't want that whole thing to happen because we just were just devastated by a cold that some, you know, 4 other kids had that went back to school 5 days later.
Right.
So that does kind of bums me out.
Right.
To worry about that.
So that is kind of.
And I think the problem in America too isn't necessarily dying from it. It's that our hospitals are not equipped for this many sick people if it should happen, because I think we have about 900,000 beds.
And you have done your research.
300 million. There's 300 million people in America, and so that's what happened in Italy. Italy had a really hard time because it just took off all of a sudden on them, and they didn't really do a bunch of testing, and then they're like, uh-oh. And then their ICU and their beds just got overwhelmed.
Right.
And so the docs are having to make decisions about whether people live or die when they come in. Cause they're kind of like, you look youngish. We'll give you the ICU bed.
Yeah.
But you probably going to pass anyway, which is cause what you do in war all the time. But I guess it's not something we anticipate when it's not wartime, you know, where you have to make these life or death decisions for people. We also don't have enough respirators, unfortunately. For that's what you get on when you can't breathe. I think we have 100,000 in the country, and it's going to require, if it should hit as bad, it will just require way more respirators than we have. So it's just this idea of suffering for people that I just don't want to have to happen. But I mean, I guess one of the things for me that is a lesson is you're not in control of everything.
Right.
Like this is, I guess, sometimes I think of us as like, wow, we've really reached this level of humanity, of understanding, you know? And even with climate change, I'm like, someone, you know, there's going to be these marvelous people that think of these things that'll save the planet. But it's like, but will we have time?
Mm-hmm.
Will that happen in time?
Right.
Or will we be killed off by a pandemic?
Right.
Or by an ice age or by an eruption or I don't know. It just makes you realize like, oh, we're just like little animals on this weird little planet.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely. And weird things happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But of course, this leads us to another topic about why sometimes it's hard for me to find friends in strange situations.
That was a stretch.
But I'll tell you why. Because let's say we're at an event trying to mingle. Let's say I don't know anyone. And maybe I go off on the coronavirus research, right? And suddenly the person looks at me with a dazed look like, I don't want to talk about this. And then I'm like, uh-oh.
Is that what I'm doing to you right
no,
now?
No, but I mean, it just, that's what happens, right? It's like that, it's very hard for me to interact in social situations sometimes, which is hard. You probably are thinking like, well, she can talk a lot. I can talk a lot. But sometimes in social interactions with people that don't know me, I don't talk about the right things. Or maybe not the right things, but I'm not, I can't massage the situation, the awkwardness of meeting people. Whereas like, I think if my husband, he comes in and he's just like, right away, he goes right for the person.
Right.
How are you? Where do you work? Yeah. Where did you go to school? How long have you been here? Like, he's just like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
And the person just keeps talking and talking and talking.
Right.
Where I am, folks, I tend to be socially awkward.
Well, a lot of people are.
Yeah.
It's very normal.
It's very, but of course, when you're socially awkward, you think you're the only socially awkward person. Because I'll look around the room.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, they're all talking.
And everyone is probably nervous inside thinking like, oh my God, this is awkward. I'm saying something so stupid.
Right.
Like, what are they thinking of me? Is this the right thing?
They look so happy though.
Well, everyone's trying. I think we're all, because we're all trying to connect.
Yeah.
You know, I think ultimately, as we talk about all the time, humans crave connection, yet they're also terrified of it.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're in these social situations, we're trying to figure out our way because we want to connect ultimately, but it's also scary. What if they don't like me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What if I say something and they judge me? You know, I think a lot of people have that fear. Maybe not. Maybe you guys out there don't feel that way. And you're like, I don't care, whatever. And I would love to have a little bit more of me, and I'm working on it. And that's actually what we were going to talk about on this podcast, is just how we kind of trust our own voice, or how we find like who we are in these social situations. And coming off of our big weekend of training,
which was fabulous, of course.
Which was awesome. We had Saturday, we did an ULA 1 training, and then Sunday we did a training for instructors who are already certified. So we call it quote unquote advanced instructor training, which is kind of a dumb way to say it. We need to come up with a better word.
Yeah,
there's
a better word than that.
I think we called it like alchemizing your magic was the name of this workshop, which is better. But anyways, it was so funny because, you know, there are all these people coming into our beautiful studio. We haven't seen so many for a long time. And I walk by the back office and Bernice is sitting at our desk on her phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Bernice, mm-hmm. get off your phone uh-uh. and go out there and talk to people. And that's so funny because, like, obviously you have a relationship with all of them.
Yes.
You've spent at least 20 hours with every single person out there.
Yeah.
And yet you still felt awkward, nervous, uncomfortable, scared, dreadful. I don't know what the word is.
Well, a lot of times it's almost like it might be fear, but I have an absence of words.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever had that where I literally go up to someone and then I go, and there's no word, like no words. I feel like my brain goes blank.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm supposed to say something.
Right. And you just.
And yeah. I can't think of a word to say.
But luckily you have that great laugh that always just diffuses any sort of awkwardness or tension or nervousness. Like, I feel like your secret, it's not even a secret weapon at all. It's like a fucking BB machine gun. You're like, here's my weapon, everyone. I'm just going to laugh and everyone is going to feel more relaxed.
More comfortable.
But it's interesting. It's actually, this is such a cool thing to talk about because this is just how humans are. So when everyone is coming through the door, especially for like the ULA 1 training, like you're going to drop in, you know, it's going to go deep. Like that's what all of ULA 1 is about, is that it's exploring the parts of us that are held or gripped inside
contained.
Of us. They're contained. There's tension around it. It's starting to explore and soften, create space in those tight, dark places. So it's so funny though, because not funny at all. This is just what I observed, is, you know, everyone's coming in on Saturday morning and hugging and being like, how are you? And everyone's like, I'm good. I'm good. Yep. So-and-so's doing good. Yep. Everything's good. But the minute we go around the circle, so 10 minutes after they come through the door and we go around the circle and we ask, why are you here? Then people immediately dropped to, well, actually, I'm not good. But when you first walk in the door, even with people you know, you care about, you trust, it's like humans don't always have that opportunity to be like, actually, I'm gonna tell you how I'm doing.
Right.
We just feel this need to be like, yeah, I'm good. I don't want to inconvenience you. Like, I don't want to be a downer. I don't want to be whatever. And so you walk in the door. How are you? I'm great. And then 10 minutes later, you're like, no, but really, how are you?
Right.
Then they can talk about it in more real ways. And it's just so, it was just a fascinating thing for me to be like, okay, this circle equals safe.
Yes.
Like there's something about this circle equals safe. Like how do we create more opportunities in our interactions with people to be like, this is safe.
Right. Yes.
You are not a burden if you tell me how you really are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just fascinating for me.
Yeah, that is, and I think that's the beauty of the circle.
It's totally the beauty of the
circle work. You know, as soon as you sit, and of course, our work, you know, people know when you take our trainings or our workshops, you're going to go into the circle.
You're going to go into a circle, and when you go into the circle, you're going to talk.
Things get real about things that matter. Yeah, and it's almost like it's trained in people now. Yeah, like when we first started years ago, I remember we would sort of be like, well, when will it drop? You know?
Oh, I know. We were like, do we have to plan something? Like, do I need to say something terrible that's happened in my life?
Yeah, right.
So other people will talk about their lives?
Yeah, that's right.
Remember that? We always had to do that.
Because it wouldn't really be happening organically. But the more we did it, it was almost like it became an understood thing. Like, oh, it's the circle.
Yes.
So this is where it's safe for us to come in and share our feelings. And they've supported me here before.
Yes.
And they'll support me here again.
Well, and then you realize if you spend a weekend with us, you literally go around the circle like 5 times.
Yeah.
In one weekend.
And a circle
again. And we're going to go around again.
And one more time. I think it just hit me. Like, this must be why there's churches and temples.
Mm.
Because you almost know when you go in there.
It's the container.
Yeah.
You have a container.
Can feel it like, and then. And you guys talked about this recently. Like, we used to tour all the cathedrals in Europe. My dad was an architect, so we just love looking at all the different architecture of cathedrals.
Yeah.
And you go in them, and the way they're built, too, like with those giant, some of them, the giant ceilings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the interesting stained lighting, glass, the stained glass, and the light is coming through kind of filtered in a weird way.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people light candles in some of them,
a lot of
candle lighting. And you immediately feel like, even when I was like 12 years old, I'd be like, oh, whoa, something happening in here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's very different than where we had been like walking the city and going in the town square.
Yeah.
And then we go in the temple or the cathedral. And right away you just go, whoosh.
Oh, yeah.
And it did feel like that would be a safe place to, you know, say something or contemplate or meditate.
Yes.
Yeah, where it's absolutely. Like, this is your place, human, to come in and let go of all the accoutrements you're carrying around and covering yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
But in here,
we can
be real.
We can be real. Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the things that I'm working on in my own personal life is to figure out how to show up as me, regardless of the safety of something like a circle.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those of you who are in our Facebook group, the ULA community on Facebook, one of the things that I talked about this past week was
which you should be on Facebook ULA community.
Well, it's good. It's good stuff in
there.
Good
stuff in there.
So one of the things that I talked about was, I feel comfortable. I feel so comfortable in my life, which kind of makes me feel lazy because I only teach her at the studio. Like, anytime we're going to go do something ULA related, like, literally everyone has paid money to be there. So I know that they have a want to be there.
A lot of them know us.
They
know us.
So
it's like, oh.
If they've never met us, they're like, oh, I listen to the podcast or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
And so that gives me this sense of safety.
Security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And built in acceptance. Cause I feel like if they didn't like what we had to offer, they wouldn't come.
Yeah. They wouldn't.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
So there's this built in sense of safety, but I realized that I basically am only doing this deeper type of work where I'm actually speaking my truths and exploring and blah, 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 blah in these really safe places. I have brought ULA to outside places maybe a couple times in the last couple years. And to be honest, it's felt really uncomfortable. I don't like bringing ULA to places that they don't want it. It's a hard feeling for me. It's just my personality or my programming or whatever. It doesn't really like that. Some of you are so great at it. And I find that amazing. But anyways, I was just thinking about how I kind of have gotten lazy. I can really use my voice when I feel like it's safe and it will be accepted. But it's hard for me to use my voice when I'm not sure how it's going to be received. And so that's something that I'm working on in my other life right now, not just my ULA life. And I was just sharing a story about how I was like, I'm on this board. And one of the women there, she's just like, I'd never met her in real life. She'd only joined the meetings through conference calls. And she's this high powered, successful, like, feminist, businesswoman, like attorney, just just amazing woman. And I emailed her about something and I signed off like super just the way that I think. And I was just talking about, you know, how I think people are so afraid of women's power and hopeful of the day that, you know, that women can trust their own power and it won't be something that scares everyone. And I was really scared to write that because normally I would just write, you know, I try to match my tone to how I feel like it would be received by that person so that I could be accepted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's always so that I can be accepted,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I just kind of went for it and it was awesome because she gave me her phone number
and I
was like, okay. Okay.
Because she saw the real you.
She saw the real
me. And she was like, oh, I kind of like that. Or yeah. I'd like to know more of that.
Maybe it's not the way I speak. Maybe it's not even the way I feel or think or believe. But wow, there's someone who's just speaking their truths.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's such a good, like, I don't know, it's such a good practice. Like, I just need to keep practicing that because it feels still a little bit uncomfortable to speak my full out truths.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good work.
Oh yeah, it's good to challenge yourself. I like how you're doing that other group, the women's business group.
Oh, where I'm in, I'm going
you're
to school.
One of, yeah,
because what you do you to, like in there?
I don't know. You're just like that's not a group of people that know you.
Oh sure, yeah.
You know what I mean, it's the same type of thing where it's
well,
like,
and it's cool because they're women from all over the world. So I'm going. I'm in this accelerator program for women business owners around the world. And maybe there's like 3 Americans in it. I don't even know. Maybe 2. I'm not sure. But the majority of the women are just from all around the world.
Like all over the world.
All over the world.
Like Beirut.
Every corner of the world.
Hong Kong.
We just found out we're all meeting up in Warsaw in July.
Warsaw, Poland.
I know. Thank God it's like a whole week after Ulacan. I was like, oh my God, please do not let it be like the day after Ulacan. Please do not let it be the day after Ulacan. And luckily it's not, which is amazing. But it's really great to get perspective and voices of people who have a very different culture, background, daily life than myself. I'm just learning so much. It's such good practice to show up as yourself in groups of people that you are not sure if they're the same as you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. That's hard. I mean,
do you do it?
I don't mind big groups of people.
Yeah.
I don't mind speaking in front of big groups of people.
Right.
But
just like one-on-one?
One-on-one is really hard for me.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. If I feel unsafe with one person or...
What do you feel unsafe about?
Or...
I'm not judging you because
no,
I feel the
I think,
same way. I'm
that's
just saying
a good,
we can verbalize
yeah,
it.
Yeah. What it's like... I feel like they won't like me or it's not even
and then
that.
What happens?
But it's not even like they won't like me. It's more like I have nothing of significance to say or.
I always feel nervous that they feel like they're stuck with me and
yes.
they would be having a better conversation with someone else. I'm like, I'm just taking up your time right now, aren't I?
Yes. I totally feel like, oh no, they're.
I'm just taking up your time
I'm
right
so
now.
I'm so sorry.
You're trying to get out of this conversation.
Yes. And I've had that happen a few times, actually, where a person has told me, time to move on.
Yeah, but we were just laughing about this in the front office on Monday because we were all saying, everyone who's sitting up there still after class, we were all saying, trying to get out of a conversation at a party when you are in a conversation with just one person at a party, trying to figure out how to move on is so awkward.
Well, and you know what I do is I attach to the person.
Yeah, because they make you feel safe.
You're yeah.
Like, you're oh, my
here's
person.
Here's my person. And I was reading one of these things about social awkwardness and they're like, find a wing person.
Mm.
But of course, I don't tell the person they're my, like suddenly I pick them out of the group of
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is my person for the night.
Yeah.
And the poor person usually is like, I'm not your person.
I don't really know you.
Like, I'm like, I know you.
Yeah.
And
you told me that one thing about your mom. I know you.
We're together forever.
We are together.
And
I know which cheese you like out of a cheese buffet. We are best friends.
You're not leaving me all night long. And that's when I get in a little bit of trouble too. It's kind of like, you know, that's another thing about reading social cues.
Yeah.
Being able to read social cues correctly.
Yeah.
Like if someone's trying to leave, that's okay. Let them leave.
Let them leave. It
Let
doesn't
them
mean
leave.
That they don't like you.
No, they're just,
maybe,
they want to talk to other people.
Which is fine. It's not a reflection on you.
Mm-mm, no. It's more like I feel like, oh no, I'm alone.
Oh
it's,
you get
for me,
alone.
It's about alone.
Oh.
It's about abandonment.
Oh, see? Because
uh-huh.
that taps into your deep
I just
wound,
totally
your
hit
childhood
me.
Wound. And for me, it's like, oh, see, I am insignificant.
Yeah.
You don't want to talk to me. I'm unimportant. I'm not worth your time.
I'm just like,
I'll just go eat some more cheese.
I'm like, I'm abandoned.
That's why I always hang out at the food though. Cause then I have something to do. So I just eat a lot.
Oh, that's a good idea. Hang out. Maybe I should try
I just hang out at the food.
Usually I just try and leave.
You do. You peace out.
I totally peace out. My husband's always like, did you just leave?
So this is something I was going to tell you after before we turned it on. I'm like, oh my God, I have to talk to you about this tarot card reading that I had yesterday. But I'm just going to talk about it now because I find it interesting. But it kind of ties into this because one of the things that I was just thinking about is like at a party, I would 1000% gladly hang out with you the whole time. And then you and me mingle with other people.
Oh yeah. I'd love that.
Like that's my dream party.
Oh yeah.
Because you are so comfortable and we know each other. We love each other.
Well, and you're like a journalist. So I'm like,
she'll ask a lot of questions. But then you make it all fun because you're funny. Like we're a good combo.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I was talking about at this tarot reading is I was just saying, I was like, you know, I've just been feeling like I've just been questioning myself lately. Like I don't do anything alone ever, especially with Ula. Like I only want to collaborate. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to figure out,
is that bad?
Is it because I don't trust myself? Because I don't think I'm good enough? Is it bad? And I just said, to be honest, like I love collaborating.
Oh yeah.
And I love collaborating with you. And I just think it makes me better and what I do.
Yeah.
And the first card she pulled was alchemy. And the second card she pulled, you are going to fucking love this. Two wolves intertwined and their voices turned in. They're like howling. Music. It turned into this beautiful thing that was
Going up to the sky.
Yeah, but it was all joined together.
Oh.
And she said, you're right. She said, your magic is you alchemize, but it takes a combination of elements to alchemize. And then I had the two wolves, which you and I have been talking about much about wolves.
Yes.
The wolves. The wolves card was communication. And she said, you're exactly right.
Oh, I got that last time.
She said, you don't need to worry about it. She said, you are most in your magic when you are alchemizing with someone else.
Oh, that's good. Because I had the same thought recently because I'm like, I can't really do anything on my own.
Yeah.
You know, like I choreograph with you. I wouldn't choreograph otherwise. Who would I choreograph for? You know, I'm 57. Like, oh, okay. I'll choreograph for your high school dance competition. Oh yeah. I got that one too last time. Oh, I got her too.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so cool.
I don't want to be ageist when I say that. Of course, if you're 57, 67, or 77, whatever, if you want. But I just wouldn't do it on my own. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this the other week. I like to speak in groups. And I'm a pretty good speaker.
You're a very good speaker.
I love speaking to groups.
Uh-huh.
And I feel energized. And I feel like a lot of information comes to me.
That you just are channeling
it. While I'm speaking to a group.
Yeah.
It does not happen when I'm speaking one-on-one. I can tell you that. There's an whole thing is shut off right then. But in groups, I feel like a lot of information comes channeling in.
Yes.
But, and we were just talking about this because Kaylee's a really good writer. Mm-hmm. You're a very good writer. I'm not as good of a
speaker. I just don't thrive just with the spoken word.
Yes. And I love the spoken word. But I was thinking to myself the other day, I'm like, well, I really, you know, would I do this on my own?
But I wouldn't do it on my own either.
But that's then it made me feel like, then you're not really in your power.
Uh-huh.
I'm not just going to go out and like speak on the side of the street or run for office or, you know what I mean, where I end up speaking to people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that.
Right.
I don't feel, it doesn't make me happy. Or I don't feel, it's just not what I want to do.
Yeah.
But when we do it together,
yeah.
I feel like, oh, this is, it's okay to do it here.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you got that.
I love it because I've been feeling the same way. Sorry, you guys get our own little therapy session on recording here. But I've been feeling the same way. Like, if I can't do this all on my own, if I couldn't do this all on my own, then am I actually doing it?
Right.
Is it valid? Can I be proud of it if I'm not, like, doing it all on my own?
Right.
And then she pulled the Ten of Swords, and in a traditional deck, it's this old man and he has all of his, no, it's the Ten of Wands. He has all of his wands. And she said, sure, you could maybe try to do all this on your own. And look, you collect all these wands, you've got all this stuff and there's the big castle. You made it, but you're exhausted and you're old and you're not happy. And so she said,
you're exhausted, you're old, you're not happy.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
No, but she said, but there, look, that's what you could do, but it would not be enjoyable.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's kind of like, I wouldn't do this alone.
Because that's how I kind of feel too. It's like, I don't want to be exhausted.
I don't want to do it alone. And, no. And I just love that she was like, you alchemize your magic in collaboration.
And I don't feel creative, by the way, alone. I mean, I do. I feel creative, but it's not like, it doesn't totally energize me. Right. It's not like,
but whoosh. I think part of my magic is I am very creative alone, and I kind of bring some, I'm not saying I bring all the ideas, but I bring a lot of ideas, and then it's like, okay, team.
Right.
Like,
what do we do with this? That?
Right. How do we do it?
Yes. Right.
Because I love my alone creative time.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I really like it. It fuels me, but I don't like the execution of it solo.
No. Well, that's a lot. It's a lot of information too.
Like I would never like host a retreat by myself. It doesn't sound fun.
Oh no, that sounds horrendous.
But some people love it. Some people don't like it.
But they always have a team. People always have a team.
No, not always.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe they have a team of support.
Yeah, they have a support team.
But maybe, but not like, and this, you know, it's like a lot of people, I'm going to go to a workshop hosted by Jen Pasteloff.
Right.
You know, she hosts retreats all around Europe by herself, but she still has the people that come with her and support her, but it's her retreat.
That's true. Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Right.
So I don't know. It's just not my style. But it was kind of cool. Like, it was like, yeah, but you don't, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You and I have a lot of magic that happens when we work together, because there's something about you and there's something about me that when we come together, really cool things happen. You're scientific. I'm more spiritual. I love the science stuff. Like, you're funny. I'm not. we just have a great
balance. But you're a good connector.
I connect.
I'm funny, but you're a connector.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. I think that you're
a writer.
Have a lot,
I'm a speaker.
We have a lot of complementary things that honestly, I think when they come together as elements, it turns into a pretty magical thing.
Well, and it makes me overlook like the discomfort of working because for me, it's like, well,
do I really want one more thing that I have to be doing?
Right, exactly.
Is this worth my time? Wouldn't I rather be blah, 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 blah.
Which of course I make up stuff, which probably if you know me, you know I wouldn't like doing. Like, I'll just sit on the beach all day.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, and what would you do?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm bored now.
I get a job at the local stables.
You totally would. But I think it's really important for us all to think about like, okay, well, what do I need in order to thrive?
Yes. And to be accepting, you might get that answer. Or you might even already be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But you might be like, well, that's not the blueprint of how we learned it to be.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you must climb the pinnacle alone.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Well, there's
whatever
so
your
much
story might be.
And I think we have to think about how much of our ego is attached to that story, because part of my ego,
that's a good point,
it can attach to either. My ego can attach to, well, look at you. See, you are insignificant because you couldn't do this alone.
Mm-hmm.
Or my ego can also attach to, well, you better figure out how you could do this alone, because if you can't do it alone, then what are you?
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
You're a phony.
That's right.
Because you can't do this alone. So the ego is what drives me in either of those directions. But when I take the ego out of the equation and I think, how is this the most enjoyable?
Mm-hmm.
How am I feeling like this is deep and true and meaningful?
And expanding my consciousness?
Yes. And how am I feeling like I can most serve? And when we look at it from those places, then the two extremes of you suck and you aren't worthy if you can't figure out how to do this alone, they don't really matter, because they're not actually part of why we're doing this.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's going back to that foundational why.
Yes. It totally brings us back to the foundational why.
Yeah.
And you know what? Life is meant to be enjoyed. And we have so much fun.
We have so much
fun doing this work together.
Yes. And it's creative fun. It's inspiring fun. And for me, I want it. It's expansive fun. Like,
it absolutely
it's like,
is.
I want to expand my consciousness.
And help other people expand theirs.
Yes. I want it to be this joint effort. It gives me faith in humanity.
Mm-hmm.
That when I'm in those circles and in those groups, I have that sense of like, we're going to be okay.
Because
this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like hearing these people's stories and feeling their energy, all of our energies and all our compassion and just beautiful, beautiful stuff. It's like, oh, wow, this is like.
Mm-hmm. Even just hearing you say that, though, it's so different than my why, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because you always come back to the we're going to be okay.
Yes. Well, I don't know if we're going to be okay, but it gives me hope.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
These circles make you feel like everything's going to be okay.
Yes.
Because when you're maybe not doing the circle work, you maybe feel like things aren't going to be okay.
Yes.
But it's really interesting because the way that I feel in a circle is different than that. It's not like, oh, we're going to be okay. I'm like, oh my God. What is our possibility when everyone realizes like how divine they are?
Right.
And so for me, like I get so excited by where we can go. And like you're kind of like, we're going to be okay. And I'm like, oh my God, what is even possible when everyone feels like they're going to be okay.
Right.
And then, you know, it's like, so even that I feel like the way that those circles affect us is complementary.
Yes. I think that's totally, cause I do have a sense that maybe we're not going to be okay.
You do. I mean, that's why this coronavirus thing, I think it's hitting you a little harder than me. Cause I'm like, ah, we're fine.
No, I mean, I don't think it'll, I mean, I think I just feel as humans, we may not be here for as long as we'd like to be here. And I guess, you know, I remember talking to my dad about this years ago. I was like 15. He was just like, you know, having a philosophical conversation about what that means. And he was like, well, is there something wrong with that? And I said, but, you know, we're such a cool species. Like mm-hmm. if we can figure it out,
yeah,
we're a really cool species and we can make really good things happen if we can figure out how to keep us, how to be sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then sometimes I do feel like, we may not figure that out. But even if we don't figure it out, gosh, the beauty of the moment is insane.
It really is.
In those moments. It's like, because mm-hmm. I need that hope to carry me over that hump of what if we don't figure it out and what will it look like? And you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, how will that be? And what is the message and all that stuff? And it's like, maybe don't always go there. Just think of the hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what those circles just give me.
Yeah, you can tell light. They give you so much color.
So much light. I'm like, oh man, you guys got to keep lighting that light, man. You got to keep it going.
Yeah.
And light everybody's light because this is how we're going to keep this sustainable and
right
and better and, you know, keep, you know, existing.
Yeah.
That's kind of a weird thing to talk about, by the way. But
why? Why is that weird?
Because we're just talking about like, you know, it's just like, do we see ourselves as a species ending? And what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, it's big stuff.
It's big stuff.
It's
yeah.
totally big stuff. Yeah. And I don't know. I just think that we have such opportunity for some major shifts of consciousness.
I feel like we're making a difference.
Oh, you, us?
Yes.
I hope so.
I feel like we're making a difference. These little pools of raised consciousness.
Yeah. And I'm so excited. Like, this is what I talk about constantly. You guys are probably so sick of me you're so sick of hearing me say it. But most of what I do in ULA is it's like where I get experiment with how I want to be or the things that I want to carry out into the rest of the world. So when I feel all these moments of connection or openness or like releasing of old patterns or limiting beliefs, when I can see that and feel that happening, it gets me so excited for what every single person in that room can then go out and do with what they're feeling in that safe, inclusive, loving space that is the circle or that is the dance studio. How do we take that feeling and move it out past the safety of that circle, the yes. safety of that studio? So for me, I get really excited to see people just feel so alive, to feel people. Well, I'm reading Glennon Doyle's book Untamed right now. And I'm like, this is exactly what we're doing with ULA. How are we getting untamed?
And maybe it's simply expanding the circle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause I always think like, oh no, I feel like it's our circle and then it ends, or like, you know, and then good luck.
No, it's like,
but maybe turn, it's like we're into, yeah, you have to keep expanding your family, the circle.
Include your coworkers. Yeah. Include your kids. Expanding, include your lover.
It. Yeah.
Include your enemy.
Include the guy at the grocery store.
Yeah. Include the bully.
Yeah. Include, you know, the bully. Yeah.
How do we include all of the people into this? But it's so cool because in Untamed, she's just talking about, you know, just like how women, and I'm sure men feel this too, but she primarily speaks about women, is how we just, you know, starting at around the age 10, we just learn. We learn how to fit into that little box. We learn, we become tame.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is about how to become untamed. And in Ula, I was just like, oh my God, that's exactly what we're doing, is we're becoming untamed.
So many untamed people.
We are twerking. We are screaming. We're getting pissed off. We're punching. We're making ugly faces. We are expanding. We are doing all of the things that we have been taught not to. And she was saying how imagination, like, any way to break the system and to change the system has to come from a space of imagination. You don't stay in the system in order to change the system. You have to go in. You've got to listen to that inner knowing. You've got to dream. You've got to imagine. And this is how we change it. And I was just thinking about how so much of Ula too is like, we have to change the way that women feel about themselves, the way that women are expected to be in their bodies, the way women are expected to be in their families, in their lives, at the workplace, blah, blah, blah.
Even how women
are untaming ourselves
to do fitness.
Especially like, how women are expected,
I mean, at the very
fitness
foundational level, when people come in, I always feel like they're going, is this?
I don't think this feels tame.
Is this fitness?
Yeah.
And it's like, yes.
It's untamed fitness.
It's fitness. It's fit. Like, you're just like exploding it. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's crazy how when you come,
it's like, but it doesn't fit. It's like unfitness.
Fit. It's unfitness with fitness.
Unfitness, fitness.
Yeah.
Untamed
it's
fitness.
It's expanding the definition of all that we are.
It really is.
Yeah. And it has to be done.
Mm-hmm. If we want
to
make any sort
done.
Of change.
It
yeah,
really
she's
does.
Like, she's like, quit trying to push against the glass ceiling and go pitch a tent outside the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, it's like, this isn't working anymore.
Mm-mm.
You've got to create something new.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love seeing people get a taste of that too and feeling
and their
like,
faces.
Oh my God, I am alive.
Wow.
This is alive.
Yeah.
You know, this is not numbed out. This is not fitting in.
Yes.
This is not tame. This is alive and wild.
It's kind of crazy too, because we did these exercises with instructors that have been instructing for a long time. And just interesting to see how we've learned our lessons so well about, well, you can only do this if your body's doing that.
Mm.
I found that.
Do you want to talk about the exercises or what?
Well, it's magical. You have to sign up for it. But it was some of the exercises, we took the body out of it.
Yes.
We just used the face and the hands.
Yeah.
And these are people that I've been teaching for a while. So we're not, you know, they should be used to that whole triad kind of working together, the body, the face and the hands working. But it was interesting to see how hard it's to do to take the body out of it,
mm-hmm,
and just do the face and hands, because it's almost like a rule.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, an unspoken rule, which is what we all adhere to. That's why we have to become untamed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to break these unspoken or spoken rules.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is, well, if my body's not doing it, I don't think my face should do it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Kind of.
I found that so interesting, because it was just like, can your face do it?
Yeah.
Without your body doing it.
Right. Well, we're talking about like emoting a song,
mm-hmm,
and how powerful that is and how fundamental that is in able to give people an experience in which they can feel. So when we take the body out of it, like, you know.
Yeah.
Are people able to go there?
And what are you comfortable with in,
uh-huh,
your own state of being?
Right.
I find it's just such an interesting conundrum, like, oh, what are you comfortable with? Your body, your face, your hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, it's all the stuff we've learned from.
I'm
since
way more comfortable with my face than
I
with
love
my body.
My face. I'm all like, my face. I'm great. My
I could
voice
do this all day long.
Oh my gosh.
I love being theatrical.
But
and
you
dramatic
can see, like, somebody learned early on that, you know, don't do too much.
Don't be too emotional.
Yeah, that's ooh.
Don't be too emotional.
Don't be
not pretty.
Yeah, that oh, that's another one that doesn't look real.
That doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good. What if someone took a picture of you right there?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, a lot of it is really not that beautiful to look at when you're doing it.
No. Good point. Right, but you feel the rawness of those emotions.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just when we talk about being untamed, it's like expanding it to all sorts of aspects of our lives as we start to sort of tease it apart.
And that's why I love ULA as a practice ground. It's like, it's just, this is where you get to go. You get to practice.
Practice.
You get to practice it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, we were having some dinner with some friends the other night, and we were talking about how like humans really like to feel things. And ULA gives you a place to feel. Cause like for me, one of the, I don't know why I really like it, but I really like to feel heartbreak.
Mm.
But here's the thing. I don't want to have to like fuck up my marriage or have my husband die or have him leave me in order to experience heartbreak. Now, yes, is that some people's story? Absolutely. But I still want to feel heartbreak and really, really feel how that feels without it having much effect on my life. So not only are we processing emotions in ULA, but we also get to feel them.
We're practicing.
We get to practice, but and like, this is why we like movies where there's heartbreak. We like, you know, we like a story.
We love stories.
And so then my friend was listening and she said, well, it's interesting because, humans are actually meant to constantly be tense and then release. The tense and then release. Think about like a heartbeat. There's the contraction and then the whatever the opposite.
What's the opposite? Extension?
Contract, expand, contract, expand. It's healthy.
Yeah.
It's healthy to flex the muscles, not only our physical muscles, but also our emotional muscles. Mm-hmm. It's like you get to flex that muscle for a little bit. The tension and the release is really important to humans. We're not meant to be numbed out. We're not all meant to just be like, I'm just happy. Look, I'm just happy. Everything is on this plane, this non-journeyed, just stagnant emotion.
No levels.
And so I thought that was really interesting. Like, it just kind of feels good to flex that muscle. Like,
yeah.
I think everyone probably enjoyed the way it felt to like fall in love for the first time, but I'm not willing to risk all of the beautiful things I have in my life just so I can feel that feeling again.
Mm-mm.
But I do enjoy how it may feel to move some of what I would feel through my body without it actually being my real life story.
Well, and that's what we love as humans. That's why we go to movies. And I'm sure before movies, that's why we sat around the campfire and someone would tell a story. And part of me would be like, oh, that's terrible. What happened? And then, but you're like, but I'm just listening to the story.
Well, even just think about you when Carrie was telling her ULA story. You're like, oh my God, it's a love story.
Oh, it was a love story.
You wanted to feel that. You liked how, you're like, oh my God, then what happens next?
Yeah, then it becomes like, and then she saw her instructor.
And her instructor looked at her and she felt noticed. And it's like, we love feelings.
Yes. It was like, oh, and then you want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
What happens next? Did you go back to ULA? Yes, I went back. And then my instructor looked at me again. And then that's when I decided, I love this class.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was all about, oh my God, it was such a wonderful story. But that's how it works. That's why so much of ULA is connection too.
It is.
So much of it is connection.
I'd be curious to hear from those of you out there who don't like feelings. Because I'm like, I love feelings. We love feelings. Humans love feelings. But I know humans don't love feelings.
Right. Or they're afraid of them.
Or they're afraid of feelings. So what is scary about a feeling?
Will you get stuck there?
I mean, no. And that's the great thing. In ULA, it lasts 3 minutes.
Yeah. I think some people, though, are afraid. Like, they'll get stuck. You know, like, I'll get stuck in heartbreak. Or maybe they just went through heartbreak and they're like, I don't want to get stuck there. You know, that kind of, I don't know. You guys answered the question.
But does that activate fear when they're dancing?
I don't. It could activate
the
fear.
Of being stuck there?
It could, depending on the person and the level of what they've experienced with that feeling. You know, how traumatic it was, how big it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But also, one would say, and you guys can argue with me, it's also a way to process those deep traumas
mm-hmm.
when you're ready to process them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, I've been afraid to go to heartbreak because of this and this that's happened in my life. But in order to get through those great traumas, we need to process them when we're ready.
For sure.
And ULA offers it in a great environment because you have other people around you.
Yeah.
It's not like suddenly I'm dropped into it and I'm like, here I'm not in my house alone.
Yeah.
And I'll be there for 5 days. It's more like I look over and you're right next to me.
You're in it too.
And I'm like, she's there too. And she looks okay.
Yeah.
Like she, you know what I mean? And then the next song starts and I'm like, she's out of it. Uh-huh. Like she didn't get stuck there. It's almost like modeling it for us,
uh-huh.
you know, especially if we've had deep trauma, anything like that. It's like, she got through. Oh, look, she got through and he got through too.
Yeah.
Like that's another beautiful thing in terms of the healing process. If you are afraid of feelings or maybe getting stuck there.
Do you think that happens if you just see somebody else dancing through it? Because there's a lot of people who dance through some of those songs and don't emote. So do you think you have to look at someone who's actually emoting to feel like, oh, look, they're in it and they're getting through?
No, because sometimes it might be like you're really feeling it. And if sometimes if I do and I look up and I see someone that's not feeling it, I'm kind of like, don't freak out, B.
Oh, uh-huh.
Like they're okay.
Yeah.
They're not even going there.
Uh-huh.
In other words, like, I'm okay. You know what I mean? Like.
See, for you, it always comes back to I'm okay.
I'm okay. Like, Barbara seems...
I'm okay.
Barbara's not even feeling that.
And so, for me, I kind of have the opposite response because I'm like, how can they not be feeling this? Why won't they go to that place that they can just feel it?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, if you feel it, you free it, and then you're set free, and then your life can go in all these amazing directions. Like, it's just, again, funny how you see the circle, they're going to be okay, we're okay. And I'm like, come on, just get in there and feel it. Because when you feel it, you free it. And then you, woo, you go.
Yeah, that's true. I always worry about the levels of people. Like certain people aren't ready to go down there or up there yet. So then I'm more like, we just hold this space for them.
Yeah.
But like you said, sometimes they're just being around it.
Mm-hmm.
They're still feeling it maybe, but in a different level. But...
Well, that's why for me, I'm like, just act it out. It doesn't have to be you. So you can just get the feeling.
Yeah.
You've activated the stances, the body language. There's all the research to show that if you put your body or your face in those positions,
you will activate it.
Yeah. So I'm like, even if you're not even thinking about yourself, maybe you right now are just Lady Gaga and that's Bradley Cooper. It's not you.
Oh, I love
it's
that.
It's not your partner.
Yeah.
It's nothing you've been through.
You're
it
acting.
Doesn't even have to activate your own trauma. Like maybe you can just activate some other story so that you can still feel it.
Because right.
feelings are what make me know that I'm alive. Like what else, what makes you feel more alive than your feelings? I mean, what?
Yeah, I don't know.
You guys can absolutely have a different answer than me. I have no idea. But for me, the thing that makes me feel most alive is my feelings.
Yeah.
So I'm like, just feel it.
But then maybe they don't want to feel alive or I don't know. I would love to hear from people that don't emote as much, you know?
Yeah, or the people who are like, I love Ula, but man, you people are freaks.
Yeah, because that was a lot.
Like,
you know, or whatever. What happened there
during Jekyll and Hyde? Like,
yeah.
What is that about? Like, I would love to hear from you guys who are like, yeah, I don't know. Just not my deal. I don't want to feel, or this is not the space I want to feel. Why?
Yeah, why? That's a good question.
Why not?
Yeah. Do you
like, what about it? Do you think it's dumb?
Do you feel unsafe?
Do you think it's inappropriate?
I think some people feel very unsafe.
Oh, do you?
I think it's about safety stuff.
And me, because I take Ula personally, I'm like, you think this is dumb, don't you?
No. I know. I'm like, I think they feel unsafe.
And me? Yeah. See, again, you go to, they feel
I'm
unsafe.
I'm like, do you feel unsafe?
And me, I'm like, you think this is dumb.
But I think the people who think it's dumb wouldn't keep coming.
I don't know.
Well, but maybe they
do. Work out. And you know what? The people who come to Ula are very nice people.
Right. And also, maybe they're not emoting. Again, we were.
But they're feeling.
But they're feeling, but we can't see it.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, and I kind of go up in their faces sometimes, and they shut off more.
Yeah.
So then I'm like,
not the right person to go.
Not the right person to go. And I apologize for that if I've done that to you.
I'm sure she has.
But it is, but I see that kind of like, you don't come, you know, you're just lucky I'm here.
You're lucky I'm here.
In your freaking class.
Yes, yes.
So
you're
don't.
You're lucky I'm not going to karate chop you right now.
Exactly right.
Back off, baby.
Back off, baby. That's not your job to tell me.
How to feel.
I know. And I'm like, I want to.
Right.
That's my controlling part. But then I love when they give me that look and I'm like, hit the little bubble, like back off.
All right. Yeah, that's interesting. And I have been wondering like why I get so into some of them. Cause like my friend after class on Monday, she's like, wow, you were really getting theatrical. And I was like, I was, but it felt so good.
Oh, it feels so good.
But I think like, I mean, maybe this is so
maybe
dumb.
We're feeling addicts.
But I'm just like, feeling makes me feel alive.
It makes me feel alive for sure.
I want to feel alive.
And
because what
me...
else am I? Asleep? Numb? Dead? I don't know.
Well, and I want to feel alive.
I want to feel untamed. I want to be so fucking untamed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Don't tame me.
Mm-mm.
And in Ula, it's a place that I feel completely untamed.
And it's totally...
No one is trying to tame me.
Yeah. No, and it's a great place to be untamed.
It's a great place.
You don't have your kid looking at you like, are you okay?
You don't have your boss looking at you. You don't have your partner. You don't have anybody looking at you thinking like, okay, you need to
especially
calm
in
down.
Songs like Jekyll and Hyde, no one's looking at anybody.
No, you're not.
I mean...
And here's the thing.
If I did, I'd fall over.
Maybe you don't have anywhere else. Maybe you don't have anywhere else you can be untamed in your life yet. As always, the goal is in Ula, what you experience, you can bring it out into the rest of your life. But maybe you don't have anywhere else yet that you can just be so ridiculously untamed. So just use this space for that, you know? And when you're ready, if you're ready, when is the right time? If it's the right time, you take some of that and you bring it out into the places that you feel constricted, that you feel caged, that you feel like, man, I am just like getting through the good enoughness of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's really interesting.
I love this kind of stuff.
Oh, I do too.
We went from coronavirus to social
anxiety. We're chatty. We could chat for about five more hours.
I know.
We're
really like,
you guys.
Well, because we haven't been doing our podcast every week too. So we're like, I got a lot of pent up stuff in here.
Yeah.
Besides the fact I'm drinking a delicious tea.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel very like, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. I was so hungry today. Well, I just ate the worst food today. I had three coffees. I had a ham and cheese croissant for breakfast. I had a salami sandwich for lunch, and I had a cinnamon roll for dessert.
Whoa. Well, that's quite a meal.
And it's like a lot of pork products, and I don't even really eat pork.
Something about the pork, though, kind of gets
you. Like, we don't have pork products in our home, and I ate two things with pork today.
Oh.
And a lot of bread.
I ate a lot of bread.
But now I feel really good. You know, that's one of those things.
Yeah.
Next podcast, like, all of that stuff, everyone would tell me, like, that's going to make you feel terrible. You shouldn't eat that. That's not good for you. But you know what?
I feel pretty good. And you have a lot of energy.
I feel real good right now. I'm like, I just needed a lot of bread today.
Yeah. The thing is.
A lot of bread and a lot of coffee.
That's a whole different podcast that we'll go into. But what you need to eat for you to feel good. That's kind of figuring out your own body type, by
exactly.
the way.
Well, this is untamed also.
Yeah.
Because everyone would tell me, oh, you want to be healthy? Don't eat a croissant followed by a sandwich followed by a cinnamon roll.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you that much.
Right.
But you know what? I listened to my body and my body said, you pull over at Great Harvest, little lady,
and you
get a cinnamon roll.
That delicious stuff
and
right
I did.
Now.
And good. Look at me.
And you feel, she's got a lot of energy.
I
by
do.
The way. A lot
I
of
could,
energy.
I could go. I could.
Way better than the algae drink.
Shut up. That's pretty good too. anyways, thanks you guys for listening.
Yes. If you want to comment, please comment. We love you.
They're like, where? I don't know. Find
anyway,
us
somehow. Just talk
Send,
to us.
Put it in a bottle.
DM me, baby.
Send it in the Flathead Lake.
DM me.
DM me.